again, everybody. It is time once again for Sco Perp Soccer.
Sco Perp!
An Orlando Pride podcast. I am your host, Michael Citro, founder and managing editor of themainland.com. It's an independent website covering your Orlando Pride as well as Orlando City, OCB, and all things soccer related. This is episode 39, and I am joined once again by my co-host, David Rowe, up in Tallahassee, Florida. Dave, how is it going?
Michael, it's going very well, and the reason it's going very well, as you well know, we had a Pride victory.
A Pride victory, not a draw.
No draw.
The team was trying to avoid becoming the first NWSL team to start the season with four consecutive draws, and they successfully avoided it in a good way. While Racing Louisville became the first team to draw his first four games in an NWSL season.
Very, very happy about the result.
Three undefeated teams left in NWSL. One of them, your Orlando Pride.
Gotta love it.
The Pride, Dave, went on the road to the horrible heights of Utah, Salt Lake City, or Sandy, Utah, actually. Where they played at altitude against the expansion Utah Royals, as opposed to the original Utah Royals from a few years ago. And the Pride came away with a 1-0 victory.
Yeah, they did.
And that 1-0 victory provided by one magical moment from Marta. Although I got to say, the Pride probably deserved to win this game by more than a goal.
Oh, most certainly, but thankfully, Marta made sure that they at least won the match.
Yes, very good performance by the Pride on this night. Again, not as clinical as you would like in front of goal, but not too shabby. We did have an absence in the starting lineup. Luana had an excused absence.
Okay.
These happen a few times a year. Don't know what it was about. Could have been, had a home for immigration issue. Could be something completely unrelated. I don't know. We're not here to speculate. We're just here to say these are the kinds of things that it could be. But in the end, you didn't have Luana in the midfield for this game. So Angelina dropped to the defensive midfield to play there alongside Morgan Gautreaux. So pretty good coverage anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice with having all these players. It starts with a D. What is it?
Depth, baby.
Depth. Oh, how nice.
Yeah, like Edward Scissorhands, Johnny Depth.
Yeah, that's how that goes.
That's his name, right?
Yeah, sure.
Something like that. Yeah, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Or the Caribbean.
One of those.
It's one of those. It's the Pirates of the Caribbean. That doesn't sound weird.
All right. So a little bit more Johnny Depth on the Pride this year, which is good.
Oh, God.
Anyway, however it happened. Yes, this game was obviously another road game for the Pride, but a place that, you're playing against a team that's, I think, a little bit piecemeal, a little bit young in some places, especially up front, the scoring, their big scorer was Centner, the rookie.
Oh, yeah. So
this is an opportunity here. Ali Centner is a good player, but you feel like you've got a chance against this attack to keep them, to keep a clean sheet. And that's what Anna Morehouse was able to do. Keep a clean sheet.
She was, and with, obviously some help from the defense in front of her, including a brilliant game from Emily Sams.
Very odd game because Utah only attempted, Dave, 5 shots. Guess how many shots Utah got on target?
5?
All freaking 5. Yes, that is the correct answer.
That's no bueno.
The Pride had 14 shot attempts. How many shot attempts do you think the Pride had on target?
I don't have it in front of me. I'm going to say 2.
Not too far. It was 4.
Four. Okay.
So in other words, 3 times as many shot attempts but fewer shots on target. And this is why the Pride have not been scoring goals, Dave.
It is indeed why. And hence, a bunch of draws to start the season.
Yes, but help is on the way. We'll talk a little bit more about that soon in this show. But this was, you know, again, no Hafaela, although Hafaela is now training again. So we do expect a return at some point, hopefully not too distant future.
Mm-hmm.
Seb is now wanting to showcase Brianna Martinez, and she started at the right back position. So you had a center back pairing of Kylie Strom and Emily Sams. They did a great job all night. Mm-hmm. Abello at left back and Martinez at right back. And I will say that as bad as Martinez was in the last game, I was extremely nervous about her playing on Ali Sentner's side of the pitch.
Yeah.
But Brianna Martinez in this game, I don't think that she necessarily stuck out for any good reasons, but she certainly did not stick out for bad reasons.
Well, that's what they call progress.
That is progress for sure. As mentioned, Angelina and Morgan Gautreaux in the defensive midfield with Adriana. Summer Yates starts over Marta in this game at the 10, and then Julie Doyle on right wing with Ali Watt up top. First start for NWSL in an NWSL regular season game for young Summer Yates, who has played pretty well this year so far.
You know, we were warned about Yates prior to the season, and I guess we should have listened.
We should have. I'm not sure warned is the correct verb there.
We were told, we were informed.
We were definitely informed that Summer had come into camp in much better shape and looked like a different player. And clearly has the confidence of one Seb Hines.
And I think well-deserved given how she's played so far this season.
Yeah, I will say Summer was a little inconsistent in this game. There were times when she kind of disappeared, but she did flash a few times as well. So I think that this is a player who has maybe a pretty bright future here.
I certainly think so. And look, I mean, if she's, you know, coming in that traditional Marta position, you know, we've spoke about it before. Marta is getting older. She's mm-hmm. only going to be around for so long. If you can have Yates develop under Marta and already making steps this season, that's big going forward.
Yeah, the Pride did not score in the first half of this game, Dave, and neither did the Pride concede in the first half of this game, which a 1-0 victory would tell you that you probably did not concede in either half.
That math checks out.
It does check out. So, like I said, I thought that the Pride, by and large, played better than Utah in this game, but they didn't create a whole lot. And what they did create, they were very wasteful with.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the, you know, things is because of the way that they brought the lineup out, Angelina was playing a little deeper than she has been lately. I think that probably impacted the attack a bit. Of course, Marta not being on there is going to do the same. So, you know, you got a little bit of a rotation and a little bit of a different look. And that, I think that was a big contributing factor.
I got to say that I absolutely love what Angelina has brought to the midfield of this team. She is very calm in traffic. She can dribble you. She can pass out of, you know, a press. She always seems to make good decisions in terms of where to go with the ball, what next move is. And it didn't matter if she was playing on the wing or as a defensive midfielder, she seems to have the ability to connect the lines in a way that I wasn't necessarily expecting. And I didn't know what to expect from Angelina when they went out and got her, because injuries had been a problem in her last couple of years in the league.
Right.
I really didn't know what we were dealing with, but I think what you've seen so far, you've got to be pleased with what Angelina has brought to the Pride.
Well, absolutely. She's been a big difference maker in several matches. She was your player of the match against Racing Louisville in the first match of the season.
Yeah. We'll find out if she's my player of the match for this game as, as it unfolds. But right now, we get to the locker room at 0-0, and you're on the road, so that's not a bad bad result for the first 45 minutes.
No, I'm happy with that. And, you know, even if it stayed like that, it would have been like, okay, well, another draw. of course, they haven't had a game so far this season where the Pride have not scored at least one, so...
Yeah, and the Pride go out here and they are, you know, they're getting the better of the chances, the better of the possession, territorially at least, if not in sheer number. They're racking up corners, so they're getting some opportunities, but just not able to finish and knock down the door. But finally, they are able to, because kind of not in a great way. Marta ends up on the field. She ends up on the field because Adriana gets hurt and goes down. And honestly, I got to admit, I was watching this game without the sound on, so I'm not sure really what happened. But she went down. She had to come off. And that's not ideal.
No, we need that to not be a big deal at all and for her to, you know, recover very quickly and be back out there in the next match, please.
Yes, that would hopefully be the case. But Marta comes on, not bad when you can bring on a 6-time World Player of the Year.
Yeah, you know,
for Adriana, and Marta gets involved, you know, pretty quickly. She comes on the 62nd minute, and Dave, 6 minutes later, she's on the score sheet. Nice ball across. Abello puts it back across the goal. I think it was Yates that tried to slide in and knock it home, but she couldn't quite reach it. Anyway, it comes all the way out to the right, and Marta takes it first touch and puts it into the inside netting on the left side, and it is 1-0, your Orlando Pride.
1-0, going crazy, Marta with a goal, couldn't have written it up any better in Hollywood.
It was nice, because now you're thinking, okay, because once you hit the 70th, 75th minute, that's when that altitude really kind of takes effect and takes a hold of you. Mm-hmm. It's really just hard to breathe, let alone go and actually play high quality professional soccer. So I always felt like it was important that Orlando was at least level, if not ahead, heading into those final 15 minutes. And they managed to snatch the lead right before those final 15 minutes, which was good, because you could tell that the mind, the body was not necessarily doing what the mind wanted it to do a few times. Some badly conceded corner kicks and things like that down the stretch that you ordinarily expect, you know, they'd be able to kick that out for a throw, but, or just take control of it and pass out of there. But, they managed to survive it and get out of there with a 1-0 victory, a clean sheet for Anna Morehouse, who was tested exactly 5 times and mostly comfortable saves. I think there was one pretty decent one, but I didn't really remember a lot of serious chances for Utah in this game. I thought that the defensive midfield did a good job in front of the back line of shielding them, and then the back line did a good job of cleaning stuff up when they got through.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, yes, 5 shots, but like you say, none of them really too bothersome. So, look, defense did what they are supposed to do. They got a clean sheet.
I think, Sams is always one of the best players on the pitch for Orlando. And in this game, I think this was Strum's best game as a center back so far.
Yeah, I would say so.
And fullbacks did, like I said, a fine job. And, You go on the road, you get a win, you come home 3 points, and still undefeated. And now, right now, as we record this on Monday night, Pride are in the top 5.
Whew, that is some lofty. That's almost as lofty as Salt Lake City.
Yeah. All right.
We're in rare altitude up there.
Yeah. You got an altitude problem.
I got it. Yeah, it sounds like altitude.
All right, Dave, what were our score predictions for this game?
Well, Michael, I'm glad you asked. You, because they had had a draw in every single match up to that point, chose a 1-1 draw, and you were fortunately mistaken, whereas I said, you know what, I think it's about time. I'm going to go with a 2-1 win. I was wrong on the scoreline, but right on the result. And so there you have it.
All right, time to pick a player of the match. And, you know, not a ton of goals, but I thought a solid performance from basically everybody. Who do you like for the top honors in this one?
You know, you could go with Marta for just getting the goal in a match like that. But, you know, she came on kind of late. As you mentioned, Yates played well, but a little bit up and down. I'm going to go on the defense on this one. I'm going to give it to Emily Sams just for yet another great performance at the center back. As you mentioned, just really showing week in and week out how good she is.
Yeah, she's really been solid. I mean, we kind of expect that now, but yeah, it was nice to see. I'm going to also credit the defense, but I'm going to go a little bit further up the pitch. I'm going to give it to Morgan Gautreaux.
Nice. Okay.
I think she did a good job of controlling the field and kind of keeping everything calm.
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been Angelina. It could have been Emily Sams. Those are the other kind of top players. And of course, you can give it to Marta for the goal. But yeah, going with Morgan.
All right. That's a fair pick as any.
Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod. Pod guest.
That's right. All right. Well, of course, now they get to come home and play a team they've never beaten at home, Dave, which is the San Diego Wave.
Fun.
Yeah, it's weird. The California teams have never lost in Orlando, and Orlando's never lost at the California teams.
Must be that nice 72-degree weather with not as much humidity out there for some reason.
It's just very strange. Maybe this is the year that they finally get a result. Not a result, but an actual win.
An actual win would be nice, yeah.
Against a team from California. Of course, there are more teams from California this year than ever before, so there's that also. But we already know that they didn't do it against Angel City. They had a chance to get their first home win against Angel City, and they drew 1-1, thanks to Marta's goal in the 88th minute. Otherwise, that could have been a loss. And now they'll get to try their luck against San Diego Wave. By the way, Bay FC comes in next month on the 11th.
Oh, California and all the former Pride players.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the one that scored the penalty for Angel City and the one that drew the penalty for Angel City.
Yeah. And the ones that will be here from San Diego Wave coming back to Orlando. Like, you know, one Alex Morgan.
Exactly. All right. So we mentioned this a little bit earlier about how the offense was about to get a boost. And that, Dave, is because Barbara Banda is in the City Beautiful.
Woo! She has landed. Excellent.
That is right. The Zambian international has arrived after the international break, where all she did was score a couple of goals to get her team in the Olympics.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? You got to get in there, so you got to score some goals. So she scores some goals.
That's what she does. She scores goals. So, you know, I'm torn between expecting this player to immediately start tearing things up and being like patient and saying, okay, she's going to need some time to settle in. I want this signing is like among the league record signings. So this is a signing I want this player to start dominating from the get-go.
Well, obviously I want that as well. That's what's going on in my internal secret little heart, is that want for her to just start absolutely killing it right away. My higher brain functions are going, give her time. She's got to adjust to a new team, a new city, a new league, yada, yada, yada. That's the boring brain part talking. The secret little heart of hope is going, score all the goals.
Yeah, as long as she can occupy the defense enough to the point where Marta and Adriana, assuming Adriana is healthy, hopefully,
Hopefully.
And Julie Doyle or Ali Watt or whoever's in there, Summer Yates, as long as she can pull attention away from them, they will have an easier time to score. But obviously, if she lives up to her billing and comes in and you know, scores anywhere from 6 to 10 goals, which I think is realistic for a player of her caliber, this could be the difference maker between last year's team that missed a playoff spot only because of goal differential and a team that could fight to be amongst those top couple of teams in the league.
Oh, she absolutely has the ability to do so. This, I believe it, this was the second biggest transfer fee in NWSL history. This is a big signing, folks. If you haven't been paying attention for some reason, which I know our listeners are paying attention, so this is for when you're sharing this with a friend.
They're wicked smart.
Yeah, wicked smart. This is a big time signing. Everybody always wants a big time signing. I want big time signings that make sense. This one absolutely makes sense. Look, Dragons hoarded money, spent it well on a absolute need. Messiah Bright, you know, no longer with the squad. You bring in a Barbara Banda. I don't know that we didn't get the better of that in the end.
Well, I think they were bringing in Barbara Banda, regardless of what Messiah Bright did. It's unfortunate that Messiah didn't hang around and maybe kick in a few goals, you know, before Barbara arrived, because it might have turned some of those draws into wins. But hey, they treaded water. Now they got their superstar in town. So LFG.
Oh, so much LFG.
So it will be interesting to see how Seb introduces her. Does he bring her? Does she start right away? Guessing not. I'm guessing maybe a second half appearance on Friday night against San Diego. Hopefully with a thought towards putting the game away, or hey, hopefully they're just up 3 or 4 goals. So it's just, hey, just have a run out.
Have a run out. Score a goal if you want. Score two.
But this is a home game against the Wave, so let's not get carried away.
No, we definitely shouldn't do that.
We'll talk a little bit more about the game against San Diego a little bit later in the program, of course. And we will get to our mailbag box where we will answer your questions and you have asked us anything. We're going to do those things right after this. Dave, we are back. And, you know, I don't think any mailbag box feels as good as a victory mailbag box.
Well, Michael, you know, I love the mailbag box in all its iterations, but a victory one is really, really sweet.
It's very special. And you can ask us anything here at Scoperp Soccer in a couple of different ways. One is to email us at themainland@gmail.com. Another thing you can do is you can add us on Twitter or Blue Sky at the Mainland, or just on Twitter at Scoperp Soccer. Any of those @s will do, as long as you use the hashtag AskScoperp. Or you could just go to themainland.com and click on the Scoperp Soccer page of that site, fill out the form, hit submit, and it will email us on your behalf. So again, these are all ways you can ask us anything. It doesn't have to be about the Pride, doesn't have to be about soccer, but it can be.
Yeah, that's what ask anything means.
Indeed. I don't know why we have to spell that out every week.
We're creatures of habit.
I'm not sure we have to.
Probably not, but probably we like not to talk.
Yeah, they're smart. Like we just settled on the fact that they're wicked smart.
I think we're just hoping that maybe it's somebody new listening.
That's true. Yes, that is the case, because this is episode 39. This is a fairly young podcast.
I know. I mean, I'm older than this podcast.
Yes, you are. Yes, you're older than a great many things other than this podcast.
Oh, sure. Sure. You know what? I'm not older than you.
Are you not? It's pretty close, probably.
I think you got me by a couple of years.
Okay. Well, darn it.
Yep.
Anyway, let's go to the Gmail. Let's start there.
Let's.
Let's get us out of here. Get us out of here. We're going to start with Greg Maimone.
Excellent.
Friend of the pod. He says, hello again, guys. Question one. And this may require some research, so you may not be able to answer right now.
All right.
With the Pride having a positive goal differential, when was the last time they were on the good side of goal differential? We seem to have generally started seasons with some lopsided losses. Thanks, Portland. Which has left the Pride fighting the deficit? I don't know, Greg, for sure. This team may not have had a positive goal differential since 2017.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. You know, we have only been doing this podcast for so long, so my spreadsheet doesn't go back very far, but I can tell you that they definitely didn't have one last season.
Yeah, the team has never won on opening day, so they've never had a goal differential advantage after game one. So there's that.
Yeah.
And then even like, well, I mean, actually, if you go just back last year, they scored 5 goals in the first 4 games, but they gave up 6. So that was close. I was thinking, oh, they might have done it last year, but nope, counting it up, they were just off of doing that. I didn't do it that year. Here's the answer to that question. The last time the Pride had a positive goal differential was the 2021 season. And as you'll recall, that was the year that the team had a record 4-0-3 start to the regular season.
Ah, yes.
And then Mark Skinner started flirting with Manchester United, and the team went absolutely into the tank after that.
Like, it just goes to prove that flirting with Manchester United is never a good thing.
That's right. Dive in with your whole heart. Don't flirt.
No. Avoid.
Just get in there.
No, avoid.
Around in it.
Nope.
Revel in it, in your Old Traffordness.
Don't never jump in that pool, people.
Well, you definitely don't want to jump in a liver pool.
That's the only pool you want to swim in.
Oh, God, liver's the grossest thing. And you're talking about an entire pool of it. Anyway, if you go back to that 4-0-3 start in 2021, the Pride were ahead on goal differential at the end of that because they scored, let's see, 11 goals.
Whew.
In that span and gave up 6. So they were a plus 5.
Wow.
Before they started losing, and Mark Skinner left the team, and we had a game that was coached by Carl Green, of all people.
Right.
That made sense. And then Becky Burley came in and kind of treaded water for a little bit, and then they tanked at the end of the season the way they typically had done. In fact, this is a team that Dave has tanked at the end of every season except 2017 and last year. And even last year, the team went 4 wins, 3 losses in the last 7. So it was kind of up and down.
Yeah. And the 2 of those 3 were at the beginning of that little stretch. And we were like, oh no, here it goes again.
Yeah.
And yeah. then they actually turned the turnaround around.
And then they got the win against North Carolina and Angel City, and then the
devastating loss.
The real punch to the throat was that thrown away game at Racing Louisville with 1 game to play. It was 2-0, and then giving up penalties, and I mean right at the cusp of the first half. If you don't get Messiah Bright giving up a penalty in the 45th minute against Louisville, you probably go on to win that game. But you certainly still get a point if your goalkeeper doesn't punch the ball into her own net off a corner kick.
Yeah, these are the things that we have to relive sometimes that we don't want to relive. But that's okay. That's okay. We don't. No, thank you.
All right. So anyway, that's your answer, Greg. We don't have to actually go back that far. I thought it was going to be all the way back to 2017. But no, it was the good start that Mark Skinner got off to in 21. That's when they were on the plus side of goal differential. Question 2 from Greg. There's been a noticeable decrease in mistakes, lapses, poor decision in the defensive third. I'd say it's attributable to the cohesion of the back line, except there hasn't been a cohesive lineup back there. What do you attribute this improvement to, and do you see anything else as a big factor in the improved play? I do see another thing. I see the fact that you've got some really solid defensive midfielders in, ahead of that back line right now. And so just having a professional like Morgan Gautreaux in there and players like Luana or Angelina, who are much more skilled, no offense to the players that were playing there the last few years, but this defensive midfield is head and shoulders above anything that the Pride have trotted out the last couple of years. So I would say to me, that's the biggest factor. And the fact that, you know, this back line has been makeshift for, you know, because of injuries and other things and suspensions. And I think that they're really working hard to try to prove themselves, knowing that, you know, I don't want to be the one seen as the problem. I like Kylie Strom has been really, really good back there. Carrie Abella, when she's had to be there, has been really, really good back there, because you don't want to be the one going, oh, there it is. There's the mistake that we've all been waiting for from the person that doesn't normally play there. These players have played there before in their career, and they're making sure that they keep everything as safe and play safely as they can. But it's so much easier to do when you have a Luana and a Morgan Gautreaux in front of you.
Absolutely. Look, there's been upgrades to the quality of the players. And yeah, it hasn't been consistent on the back line. I think it's going to get there. But at least you have the steadying presence of Sam's. You have, you know, as you mentioned, the defensive midfield in front. Those things, they work as a unit, and I think you're right. I think nobody wants to be that person. I think they feel that way because everybody wants to play as well as they can for Seb Hines.
And that's, you bring up a great point there, because Seb Hines is another reason for the improvement, because this is the second year under Seb's tutelage, and these players play hard for Seb, and there's no question about that. That's one of the most pleasant surprises about him getting this job for me, is that this team continues to believe in him and support him in a way that I wasn't sure was going to happen. I mean, you go back to when he took over as interim coach, and the team did not finish the season real strong that year. They kind of collapsed at the end and wasn't really sure what we were going to get. And then last year, just on the cusp of a playoff spot, again, not to belabor this on, you know, to pick on Hannah Morehouse, but you don't punch the ball in your own net, you're in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously that was disappointing, but you know, the larger point being that Seb is creating a culture, along with Haley Carter, that players want to play for him. They want to play for each other. And I think that's going to, that's turning around the perception that was here for a while, that players didn't want to come here or players wanted to leave. I don't think that's the case anymore. And at some point it's going to turn around and players are going to want to come play for the Pride.
Absolutely. There's a player out there right now demanding a trade named Maria Sanchez, who I would support her move to Orlando.
It's funny you mentioned that, Michael. Because I think we might have a question about that.
Well, let's find out. We are still in the mailbag box, and I still have one more, I believe, here from Greg Maimone. And question three, what kind of, this one's a little different. What kind of battery tech is in the droids from Star Wars? You have droids that seemingly run for decades, maybe centuries, without without need for charging. And why is this same power system seemingly not in the spaceships as we see and hear of them needing to be fueled? Thanks for all you do for the women's game. Dave, what do you think about the battery tech in the droids from Star Wars? I know that they power down to conserve energy, but don't they also sometimes plug in?
Yes, they absolutely do. So there's that. I think you can go into like a low power mode, like we saw that in some of the newer ones where R2 was in low power mode, effectively, you know, in a coma, if you like. I did a quick, let's see, a quick search. You're showing like what type of batteries are in lightsabers, but I don't see anything from the droids. We like you said, we know that they have to charge. I think it's more so a low battery thing. And then let's just be honest, the power demands of a spaceship that's going to go to light speed is way, way, way more than in a droid, whether it's a protocol droid or an astromech.
I couldn't have said it better myself. So I think we have we've answered that question. We have answered all of Greg Maimone's questions.
Ah, phew. Thank goodness.
We also have a question, a form submission from a friend of the pod, Alfred Richardson.
All right. What's Alfred have to say?
Alfred's question is, how about player grades and player of the match for Pride matches?
Alfred, that is a fantastic idea. Thank you for signing up to be a contributor at the mainland. That can be your first assignment. We are happy to have you on board. Obviously, I kid, but not really. If you'd like to join us, please do. The answer, I'll answer for Michael. we're stretched thin right now to get all the coverage done. I would love to see it, but sometimes it's just not, we just don't have the writer power behind it.
We did have a writer that was doing that for us for a while. Jack McAwesome was one of our readers that volunteered to come on and do that. He got a little busy and had to step away from writing for us. Unfortunately, he was doing that for about a season, I think. And then he also helped us at the end of the year with our end of season player ratings, season review pieces. It would be nice to have Jack McAwesome come back. Jack, if you're out there listening, we'd love to have you back. Or anybody, if you are interested in covering the Pride for us, we just got a new writer to do that, although he's only available to do like a story every other week. But based on the in-depth nature of these feature stories, you need that week off in between for research and stuff. So I'm really happy to have him aboard. But his name is Sam Denker, by the way. I keep saying him, but I didn't give his name. Sam, we are very happy to have Sam with us. But we don't have somebody who can consistently do game coverage on Pride games. We are covering three teams as best we can with just a few writers. And almost none of them live in Orlando. So
yeah,
it's been difficult. But you don't have to live in Orlando to be able to contribute. If you are interested in helping us out, email us at themainland@gmail.com because we would absolutely love to have more help.
Yeah. And if you think, oh gosh, I don't know if I can do that. Well, I'm sure you talk about soccer with your friends. If you can talk about soccer, you can write about soccer. Yeah. And we're here to help you get better. I know that I'm a better writer than I was 10 years ago when it comes to this stuff. And you too, dear listener, can make that journey along with us.
We're not expecting you to come in and be Pulitzer Prize winning material right off the bat. We're just come in, use your own personal voice, and we'll take care of fixing the grammar and the punctuation and stuff like that. That's why we have editors. But yeah, it would be great to have a little bit more coverage for the Pride and to be able to offer that. I would absolutely love to be able to offer everything for the Pride that we offer for Orlando City. Now, unfortunately, there's only about a third or a fourth of our staff that are actually routinely watching the Pride. Some of these guys are just MLS guys. And, they don't even watch OCB. So it's not just a men versus women thing. But yeah, Jack was doing a good job for us on that. And we would absolutely love to have somebody come aboard. And I will tell you this too, Dave, from the fact that we do player grades for the Lions on the MLS side, nobody's really shy about telling you that you got the score wrong for a player. So I obviously everybody can score these players properly.
Yes. There's no lack of opinions when it comes to that. Typically when I do grades, I've got a little thing at the top that says, hey, everybody's got their own opinion about this, so just chill out.
I would have given that person a 4. Well, you couldn't give that person a 4 because you didn't join our staff.
So if you would like to be the one to finally get all of those grades correct,
yeah,
well, all you got to do is join.
That's right. And we do thank our good friend, Alfred Richardson, for the question.
Indeed.
We would love to have player grades and player of the match for Pride matches, and we've had it in the past. We just don't have the manpower or writer power, I should say. We don't actually have any women on the staff right now. We have had several in the past. We just mm-hmm. currently don't have any.
Yeah. And we would love to have, well, we don't discriminate. Anybody that wants to come right, come right.
We would absolutely love to have more disparity in voices, more varied viewpoints, representation across the board. So come one, come all.
Yes.
That's all I got in the Gmail, Dave.
Well, Michael, I've got some good news. We do have some of the socials. Now, there was none in Blue Sky, which is always a little disappointing for me, but that's okay. We do have some in the Twitters, including from great friend of the pod, Brandy, who says, I think I have a tough question for you.
By the way, Brandy is also on Blue Sky.
I know. She could have put it in there, but that's okay.
You on Blue Sky.
That's okay. All right. So the tough question, out of the players who have played meaningful minutes so far, which off-season addition has impressed you the most?
That's an easy one for me. So far, of the ones we've seen, I'm very impressed with what Angelina has brought to this team, both when she's played in the central midfield and when she's played in the attacking midfield. I think that she brings a calmness, and I think for the most part, her set piece delivery has been pretty good, which is something that has at times been lacking. I am very impressed with Angelina, and the fact that she can take set pieces and free up Marta to get in the mix in front of goal has already produced results.
It has. And I knew that you were going to say Angelina. And I 110% agree with you. I'll mention Morgan Gautreau has definitely impressed in the amount of time that she's been on the pitch so far.
Yeah. And I mean, you could just say the central midfielders, because
yeah,
Juana has also been very good this year.
Yeah. So, but I would say my number one is also Angelina, but that's not to take anything away from anybody else.
Yeah. Good question.
Great question. Okay. So, we're not done though. We've got good friend of the pod, Axel Child of Destiny, who says, actually has a couple. First, I remember in the end of the season show last year, or one of the off-season shows you did, you said you'd be happy with Marta staying on the coach, but not necessarily playing heavy minutes. Does her start to the season change your opinion?
It's been a very encouraging start to the season, but not really, because when you look at one of her goal contributions, it was coming in off the bench, only been on the pitch 6 minutes. So, it's great that she's pitching in, but I think when you get Barbara Banda in there scoring goals, I just don't know if it's sustainable. At Marta's age, she's going to take knocks easier. She's going to miss games, maybe be limited in games more. I don't know if it's sustainable. It is a great start to the season for her. I shouldn't say great. I should say that it's been a pretty good start to the season for her. Like Marta of 10 years ago would have a lot more goals and assists, but you know, at this stage of her career, it's a pretty strong start.
I would say maybe it's a unexpected based on our, you know, what we thought was going to happen, unexpectedly good.
Yeah.
I would add. So that's probably there. Does it change my opinion? I'll say a little bit, just because she is doing well. I have all the same reservations that you have. And, you know, I think it's, you know, I mentioned earlier that having Summer Yates develop more, I think will be good. Yeah. So that as Marta, you know, perhaps tapers off this season, Summer's, you know, on the upswing. And if we can get kind of a you know, equal time out of them, I think it'll be good. And once again, and this would go if she was, would be the same if she was coaching rather than playing, just having her there to, you know, be a resource for the players, whether on the pitch or off, yeah, is important, which is why we said that we would like to have her as a coach.
Yeah. And you have to remember too, that if she's not playing, that's a lot of salary you can bring in someone else with. So that's kind of
right.
That's kind of the madness. So the method behind my madness was that it's like, if she's not, you know, providing goal contributions at the rate she once did, she's making plenty of money to find somebody who can.
Right.
So that's, it was nothing against Marta necessarily. But certainly there have been periods in the last few years where you wonder if there's anything left in the tank.
And, you know, she's often, you know, shown flashes or had little stretches where, you know, it's like, okay, you're still competitive. And she's shown that to start this season. Mm-hmm. We hope that it continues, but we're not necessarily expecting it. So
yeah, small sample size.
Yes. All right. Also, you mentioned this earlier, you know, about, and this was, you know, breaking news from Jeff Kassoff. Multiple sources confirm that Houston Dash winger Maria Sanchez has requested a trade ahead of Friday's deadline, just 4 months after signing a record contract as a restricted free agent. So you had mentioned that. Now, Axel Child of Destiny also saw that. And the question is, do we have enough money left to try and get her?
I seriously doubt there's enough cap space for her. But, I mean, Haley Carter's pretty smart cookie. Might be able to unload a little bit of salary. Maybe, I don't know if there's any way to do it physically. But if there's a way to do it, Haley could do it.
I would agree, and I would love for it to happen. Do I necessarily think it's going to happen? No. But, I won't necessarily be surprised if it does. So, you know, I mentioned earlier that I think that this is now a club where players are going to want to come play for the Pride. I think that's starting, and this would be, if Barbara Banda and Sanchez joining this lineup.
I mean, could you imagine an attacking midfield behind Barbara Banda of Adriana, Marta, and Sanchez?
Oh, it's a dream.
It's filthy.
That is just,
with the way
make
the
it
defense,
happen.
With the way the defense has been playing this year.
And with hopefully the defense getting even better as things go on and you know, Rafaela comes back. So, yes, Axel, I say we make it happen. Now, is there enough money left? We don't know.
I mean, let's test the NWSL to see if they can see if we're breaching any financial rules.
Look, here's one thing I know is that Haley Carter will do things the right way.
Yeah.
But as you said, she's very smart and she can maybe figure out a way to do it the right way and still make it happen.
The problem is when you're going to get a player like that from a team like Houston, they're going to ask for a lot back because our player. So you're going to have to mortgage at least some of your future in terms of, you know, maybe they want a Summer Yates and, an Ali Lemos or something like that. You don't want to give up too much to get good now because the team is in fifth and hasn't had Barbara Banda yet, hasn't had Rafaela yet. This could be a playoff team without Sanchez. So There's no need to go crazy.
Yeah, I think it would depend on the structure of the deal.
Yeah.
And as to whether it's worth it or not. And when we spoke to Haley earlier, they're building for the future. I mean, yeah, they're working on the now, but they're building for sustainability. Yeah. And she even mentioned, you know, going out and splashing a bunch of money, although they did on Banda. Just willy-nilly is not how you do that. I don't know. I've talked myself out of it. I don't know that they're going to do it.
I just honestly don't think they have cap space based on having Banda and Marta on the team.
Yes. That makes it difficult.
I mean, that's three pretty big pieces of salary cap right there.
Yes, it is. So as nice as it would be if it could magically happen in a LAFC Miami kind of way, I unfortunately don't see it happening. Prove me wrong, Haley.
Yeah, it'd be a lot cooler if it did.
That's right. That is everything we've got in the mailbag box for this week, Michael.
Awesome. Thank you for all the questions. We do appreciate it. You can ask us anything next week if you didn't get your question in this week, or even if you did and you have another question. You can ask us anything, and you can do it by emailing us at themainland@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Twitter or Blue Sky at the mainland. You can hit us up on Twitter at Scoperp Soccer. Make sure you're using the hashtag AskScoperp on the socials if you're going to hit us up there. Or you can go to the Scoperp page on themainland.com and fill out the form and hit submit. Any of those ways will do. We would love to hear from you, and we would love to answer your question. Even if we don't really fully understand the droid battery technology.
I thought that we did pretty good on that one.
We did all right. We just don't have all the answers. We just, you know, we threw some stuff out there.
We promise an answer.
We do promise an answer. We don't always promise to have the right answer. We will give you the best answer we can.
Yes.
Another thing we'd love it if you do is interact with this show. We're only on our 39th episode. We really need to bump up our numbers. We need to find more listeners out there that are craving the Orlando Pride news and the Orlando Pride discussion. We want more Pride fans. We want to grow our family. So we would love it if you would interact with us wherever you get your podcast and rate and review us so that people can find us when they do searches. That's how that happens. As you get more interactions, you get to move up in the search rankings. So please do that wherever you get your podcast. And if you happen to go to Apple Podcasts, where a lot of our listeners come from, and leave us a 5-star rating and review, we will read it on the show. We will also consider putting it on our Scoperp Soccer page of our website as a testimonial. And I still do have two that I need to add. So that's bad on me. That's my bad. I'll get to it. I promise. It's just not, it's not in the first thing I think about when I wake up in the morning.
Well, when you go to your normal job?
When I go to my normal job and I'm trying to not mentally break down over the course of the 8 hours that I'm there, or usually nine and a half, and doing like 16 other things on the side. I will get to it, I promise. But we don't have any new 5-star ratings and reviews for this week, but maybe next week.
Hey, hope springs eternal.
It does. All right, Dave, it is time to preview the Pride's game this weekend against San Diego. The Wave coming to Orlando. Now, Orlando is, when I look at the map, I don't see Orlando being on the shore. There's no reason a Wave should do very well at all in Central Florida. Nope. So I don't think that this is any place for a Wave.
Not only that, I'm generally against the Wave that happens inside of stadiums. I think it's the worst form of just don't do it. And if somebody's trying to get you to do it, just don't.
No, tackle them.
Yeah, it's like the Captain America. You know, even if everybody's telling you that you're wrong, but you know you're right, you plant yourself like a tree next to the river of non-wave going, and you know, you say no, you don't move.
Yeah, and then you tell them, "I can do this all day."
I can do this all day.
Yeah. On your left.
I think we beat that into the ground.
Yeah, nobody cares. Anyway, the Wave coming to town as happens once a year, and San Diego has again not lost. I'm offended by this, quite frankly.
I am also.
I mean, who do they think they are coming here and not losing?
Offended, I say.
Yeah, so the Pride, Dave, are 2-1-1 against San Diego, but the 0-1-1 part of that is at home, and that's sad to me.
It's disappointing for certain.
I has a sad.
Oh, we don't want to make you sad.
No. Let's get a win.
Yeah, let's do that.
The Pride are 2-0-0 at San Diego, Dave.
Because, of course.
They need to pretend that this is Snapdragon.
So, how do we make the weather nicer?
I don't know. We move. I don't know. I don't have an answer for you.
I don't think that's going to work.
No, it's probably not going to work. All right. Anyway, the wave are coming in, and Dave, the wave right now, as you and I sit here in the supporter shield standings, San Diego sitting seventh, 4 points from three games overall, 1-1-1. And the San Diego Wave on the road, 0-0-1.
That's not good. I mean, it's good for us. It's not good for them.
Pride sitting at 6 points in fifth place. They do have one more game played than San Diego. 4 games, 1 win, 3 draws, no losses. And they are 0-0-2 at home, Dave. The Pride have not won a home game yet.
I think it's about time.
I would think so. The whopping +1 goal differential as well. 5 goals scored, 4 goals conceded. San Diego comes in, 2 goals scored, 2 goals conceded. Very good defensive club.
Mm-hmm.
And you would expect that. I mean, this is a team that has Naomi Girma, although Naomi Girma, obviously, in the last international window got banged up.
Mm-hmm.
Also a very good goalkeeper in San Diego, as you well know, and we can, if you watch the U.S. Women's National Team recently in the She Believes Cup, you saw Kaylin Sheridan in the final against U.S.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so, and she was pretty good.
Pretty good goalkeeper and pretty good defense and a lot of talent. It's kind of surprising this team's only got 2 goals. One scored by Sophia Jakobsen and one by Emily Van Egmond. You remember that name?
I do remember, because she is one of the, of course, there isn't anything, there is no California team that doesn't have at least 2 former Pride players.
Yeah, and this is no different. So this is Sophia Jakobsen is 6 shots. 3 of them on target. So that's one of the key players that the Pride will have to watch. And, Emily Van Egmond has a goal, but has not typically been like a really prolific scorer in NWSL.
No. So, I mean, a little bit surprising. Also, a little bit surprising, no Alex Morgan goals.
Now, Abby Dahlkamper, obviously on that back line as well with Girma. So, I mean, mm-hmm. That's just a really, really solid back line. They now have a very good midfielder. Savannah McCaskill comes over from Angel City.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Morgan has played in all 3 games and does have an assist.
Yes. No goals.
Not yet, but 10 shots, Dave, 5 on target.
Whew.
So obviously somebody there who warrants some monitoring, and they also have Elise Bennett coming off the bench. They have Jaden Shaw. I mean, this is a team that's kind of loaded. It's kind of hard to believe that they're not off to a better start, even though 1-1-1's not terrible.
It's not terrible, but that is a lot of well-known, and for good reason, well-known players.
All right, Dave. So the question is, what is your key matchup for Friday night's game at 8 o'clock? This is an Amazon Prime game, by the way.
Despite the fact that you mentioned that, they're good on defense, and you might think that trying to get one in, because you can't win if you don't score, would be a matchup. I'm going to go on the other end because... Yeah, I know they don't have a ton of goals yet, but it makes me feel like they're due. And also, California teams coming to Orlando, never a good thing. So I'm more worried about what Anna Morehouse can do. I have to say that, we mentioned earlier in the pod, the defensive midfield and that back line in front of Morehouse, they're going to have their work cut out for them, I think. And that's where, if they can manage clean sheet, they got a really good chance.
That's true. So I'm going to go with the more normal thing that we just talked about and say, you got to break down that back line and beat that goalkeeper.
Yeah.
It's something that the Pride haven't done well early in the season. Will we see Barbara Banda? Again, I think we will see her, but I don't think this is a anywhere close to a 90 minute appearance for her or a start. So this is a team that has to go out and score on, I just mentioned the back line players and the goalkeeper and just really solid players, other places like Danny Colaprico and players like that. I think this is a definite got to score a goal or two game, probably two. And that's not something that the Pride have done well. So I think that's the key matchup for me is can they take their chances and can they create those same chances that they've been creating against this better defense?
That's a good point, sir.
I hope the answer is yes, but we'll know more when we find out if Adriana is actually healthy enough to play.
Yeah, that could play a definite big role, especially on, oh God, I hope she's okay.
Yeah. So we've got our key matchups. What about a score prediction?
Well, Michael, I'm going to be fairly optimistic and say that the Pride are not able to get that first win against the California team in Orlando, but they don't concede. They don't concede all the points. It ends in a 1-1 draw. The Pride do find a way to get one in. I think it'll be a later goal. They'll come from behind to get the draw. So that's my inclination on this one.
Okay. I'm going to go the absolute opposite of my normal show me you can do something before I predict you're going to do it methodology and say this team is just due to beat a California team at home. And I think that Barbara Banda being here is going to, you know, steel sharpen steel kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think other players are going to step up their offense because they are going to see in training every day what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this is going to be a 2-1 Pride victory.
All right. I like your prediction more than mine.
Well, I only like mine if it is true.
Well, I can like it right now.
I don't like it or dislike it. It's just there.
It's just there.
It's just kind of out there.
All right. Well, hopefully you are correct.
The good thing is in just a matter of days, we will be back in front of a microphone finding out, did it come true or not? You know, who got the closest to the actual score, who came closest to predicting the outcome of the game. And we'll select our player of the match and all that other fun stuff that we like to do. So it won't be long. We'll just a few days away. They'll play San Diego. And then a couple days after that, we'll be back talking about it.
Yeah, not long at all.
All right. Well, unless you got anything else to get off your chest, I think that does it for this episode.
I'm going to agree with you. I think we've done all we can. Just keep on listening, everybody, and share this podcast.
Good advice. And thanks everybody who sent in questions for our mailbag box. We do appreciate you and we love answering your questions. So thank you for that. And that's going to do it for episode 39 of Scoperp Soccer and Orlando Pride podcast. And are invited, cordially invited, to go to themainland.com to read our stories about the Pride, about Orlando City, about everything. You can also follow us on the socials. You can like the Mainland on Facebook. You can follow Mainland Dave on Twitter or Blue Sky. You can follow Mainland Michael on Twitter. You can follow the Mainland at the Mainland on Twitter or Blue Sky. And on Twitter only, you can follow Scoperp Soccer.
Heck yeah.
Also, you can rate, review, whatever, anywhere you get your podcast, rate us, review us, you know, be honest. If you don't want to be honest and you want to give us a 5, that's fine. And if you honestly believe we are deserving of a 5, that's also very, very fine. And we would appreciate that. It just helps us get noticed in the searches. So it's something you can do for absolutely no money and helps us out quite a bit. That is going to do it. So on behalf of my co-host, David Rowe, this is your host, Michael Citro, signing off the way I always do by saying, go Pride, Scoperp.